Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Dr. Pat Castle, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight our guest is Dr. Pat Castle. This is the second show we're doing with him about his organization, the Life Runners. They try to promote the value and dignity of life through having running events, but also just meetings and praying in front of abortion clinics and just any kind of witness they can do, sidewalk counseling. So he's going to share some of his reflections about the pro-life movement tonight.
I think too, as we're approaching the election year, you know, we want to know more about the abortion issue and how we can remedy it as a Catholic. So it's a show you don't want to miss. And we're now going to a reflection with Pat Castle.
This is the Life Runners Daily Devotions, and you don't have to be a runner to get the daily devotional. And you can find it on EWTN with their religious catalog. And I'm going to share a devotion that I wrote many years ago called The First Baby Photo. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. O Lord God, what good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless? When magnified, you can see that the zygote, our first cell at conception, looks like a communion host. The Eucharist, the body of Christ, the cell surrounding corona radiata is like a monstrance, the holding vessel for the Eucharist. The Eucharist doesn't look like Jesus, and the zygote doesn't look like you. However, the Eucharist is completely Jesus, and your zygote, your first cell, was completely you. Today's challenge: if you can't see your neighbor in the zygote, just wait a few weeks for magnification. And if you can't see Jesus in the Eucharist, go read John chapter 6, verses 35 to 69 for magnification. Life Runners are all in Christ for pro-life, and this devotional is encouragement to put on your Life Runners jersey that has Remember the Unborn on the back and the Trinity on the front, with the cross, the dove, and Jeremiah 1:5. Where God said to young Jeremiah, I knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. God bless you.
Well, Dr. Pat Castle, welcome to Life on the Rock.
You bet, Father.
Last time we had you on, we were talking about the Across America Relay and the great work and the devotional you've put out, the book, Religious Catalog Sells. Also, on this show, I wanted to talk to you about some of, because you're a speaker, you go all across the country giving talks related to pro-life movement, but also very spiritual, I find, talks. And your charism as Life Runners are to encourage people in the pro-life movement. So one of the talks you give is like living a pro-life with heroic virtue. You're a graduate of the Air Force Academy, trained and practiced virtue just by living that reality, right? That's a big emphasis. Tell us about that heroic virtue that's required.
Yeah, as you alluded, I'm a retired Air Force medical officer. So a commander. I received
a colonel, right?
A retired lieutenant colonel.
Okay.
And the perspective of my pedigree was not in conflict at all with my Catholic faith.
Yeah, yeah.
So the core values of the United States Air Force are integrity first, service before self, excellence in all we do. These are Christ-approved virtues.
Right.
And those virtues, I remember you and I visiting about John Stuart Mill. And one of the quotes that we had to memorize at the Air Force Academy is a quote from John Stuart Mill where he said, war is an ugly thing, but not the ugliest of things. the decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling, which thinks that nothing is worth war, is much worse. The person who has nothing for which they are willing to fight, nothing that is more important than their own personal safety, is a miserable creature and must be made and kept free by the exertions of better men than themselves. I look at that as heroic virtue.
Right.
This is life-saving virtue.
Right.
That someone has agreed, made a commitment to give their life, be willing to give their life for another.
Yeah.
And in the military, when I evangelize military members, I'm like, this is not a big step for you. You've already committed to give your life.
Yeah.
How about you giving your life for the Constitution of the United States, which has lots of godly things in there.
Right.
Words like self-evident and unalienable and God-given.
Right.
Words like that in our founding documents.
Yeah.
And I say, the journey to pick up your cross and follow Christ.
Right.
You're already doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're living a heroic life.
Right.
And so that heroic virtue, of course, is thread in the Life Runner's apostolate, where we are wearing our witness, wearing a shirt that says, remember the unborn, quite literally having a target on our back, which I will tell you, 99% of the responses from even this culture for such a time as this is positive.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, high fives. Thank you for wearing that witness.
Yeah.
And on the front, wearing the Trinity, pick up your cross and follow me to wear your witness. So anyone that's willing to put that shirt on,
not
running
that,
optional,
not that
well, not
particular.
That, you're right, good one, trying to put that on. Anyone that's willing to wear their size in that shirt is a fully qualified life runner, running optional to wear their witness.
Yeah.
That's heroic for such a time as this. That's life-saving.
I'm thinking of like Revelation, it talks about the battle between the woman and the dragon.
Right.
And John Paul spoke so eloquently that human life is always in the crosshairs of that battle.
A real battle.
Yeah. If Satan is raging against God, he wants to extinguish the image and likeness of God in this world, especially in the human person. So there's a real battle in the kingdom, right? To spread Christianity, to spread
a
the
war.
Gospel. Yeah.
And so those words, you know, some listeners were like, ooh, like war, it is an ugly thing. And ugh, how does that relate to our faith? Oh my.
Yeah.
There is nothing on a battlefield that is greater in terms of horrific than the reality of a child in their mother's womb dying by abortion by one of three methods. Starvation, the abortion pill, mifepristone, lethal injection to the heart, late-term abortion, or dismemberment, quite literally being ripped apart limb by limb with suction abortion. There's nothing on the battlefield of a war that is more horrific than the innocent child dying like that.
Yeah.
So as you said, read John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy wants us in the image of God to be dismembered. The enemy wants the body of Christ to be dismembered.
Right.
And of course, God, who brings us life, wants us united, many parts but one body, forever.
Right.
So it is a matter of life and death.
And I think you make a great point in your witness and evangelization to ask that simple question, what road are we on?
What road are we on?
I mean, because in the beginning, it might not look that horrific.
We talked about this.
Tell us about what road are we on.
You're right. And it starts with the smallest of decisions.
Yeah.
So in this, you know, we talked about how with this identity crisis that we're in, I mean, Satan is waging war on the reality of life in the womb. The lies trying to make abortion a solution to anything. It's the greatest problem imaginable. It's the most horrific thing imaginable. Our own identity as male and female, waging on that identity. And it could start with some little compromise. And we talked about how Satan does it by way of a hurt. You know, a young person was hurt by a parent or hurt by a family member or a friend.
He'll press on that.
He'll press in on that by rebellion.
Yeah.
I'm not getting enough tension because I didn't make the basketball team. So I'll choose another way for my own glory, my own attention by rebelling, by saying I'm transgender or whatever that would be. And then the third one is from deception of the world, where the world and its messaging, you and I talked about the mirroring effect of, mm-hmm. of the world's media, the messaging, how each Hollywood movie seems like it has to have a mandatory normalization of same-sex relationship mm-hmm. or a mandatory taking the Lord's name in vain, yeah. breaking a commandment, like yeah. to have some allegiance to the world, to Satan's agenda. Yeah. And so we see this. And so to answer your question on the road, as soon as we make that deviation mm-hmm. from all things good, mm-hmm. beautiful, and true, mm-hmm. imagine the most beautiful scenery you've ever seen.
Right.
You know when you're on the right road.
Yeah.
It's ordered, it's aligned. You mentioned when you and I were visiting uh-huh. St. John Paul II, referring to the road with Christ is the deepest joy.
Right.
But some false joy, some false compassion, some false love, uh-huh. some anecdotal thing has taken our eyes off this most beautiful.
Yeah.
And we've gotten, for those reasons listed, yeah. this other road.
Right.
And then as we go down that road, what first seems like just one step away, pretty soon, good is called evil and evil is called good, and we don't even recognize
yeah.
good for good anymore.
Right, right.
It's a different road.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Dr. Pat Casson. Well, the abortion debates are very heated right now in a political season, and we see like a lot of, to me, it's like a lot of cloaking of words, euphemisms or expressions to talk about choice, to freedom, and you know, we don't want the government making this. But we're talking about human life, that the government has a duty to protect the common good,
to
serve
duty.
The common good, this first duty, and to protect it. And there really is no choice here. I mean, if you look at the two roads, one that leads to life, one that leads to death.
It's quite apparent.
Yeah, it's like we go on the secular road and we get hurt. We see that in our young people today, that it's like this new, I hate to use the word opportunity, but for evangelization, because they're suffering so much at the hands of the sexual revolution,
yep.
these false promises. And you speak eloquently about this. We did have a Christendom, this civilization of Christianity.
We straddled it.
Now we're in
flat-out mission. We are.
Charismatic preaching, witness. Talk about that.
It starts with words. Mm-hmm. So let's take some words. Compassion. Mm-hmm. The word means to suffer with. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of false compassion going on in a false positive culture. There is this notion of, oh, it's compassionate to go stand at a pride parade out of compassion for our confused brothers and sisters. No, yeah. we don't go join in a celebration of evil. We invite them away from that. Mm-hmm. We love them enough to be unpopular for real compassion. We suffer with them. Mm-hmm. Our suffering with them is not being popular in these words for such a time as this. How about love? I mean, there's so much false love. Mm-hmm. Let us remember our theology. Let's boil it all the way down. God is love. Mm-hmm. If God's not there, if it's counter God, mm-hmm. it's not love. Mm-hmm. So when we start with really remembering what compassion, mm-hmm. real compassion means, and real love means, then we can start being a prophet,
right.
a true speaker. Then we yeah. can start the new evangelization.
Yeah.
Then we can start that what you mentioned, Father, mm-hmm. it used to be Christendom. What did that mean? Mm-hmm. What it meant was it was popular to be mm-hmm. Christian. It was beneficial. Mm-hmm. If you weren't seen as a politician, a scene going to church, it would hurt your electability. Today, mm-hmm. you don't see scenes mm-hmm. of politicians, Father Mark, like a scene of the president mm-hmm. or a scene of somebody in the news at church. You don't see them anymore because it's not popular.
Yeah.
So now that we've moved from Christianity being popular, there's a lot of unpopularity.
Yeah.
So now it's time to pick up your cross. What time is that? That's apostolic mission.
Right.
So if you want to relate to the new evangelization, we relate to the Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah.
Can you imagine some of the unpopular venues? I can. Yeah. You mean like St. Paul being stoned to death and them having to basically code him, to quote Bernadette Costello, who's a respiratory therapist, and her and I had the beautiful opportunity during Mass one day to do CPR to a lady that passed out, had a heart attack, and bring her back to life. Well, that's the analogy for apostolic mission. We need to start giving CPR to the culture and reaching out as apostles.
And with regards to the to abortion, you have a stat that talks about that 78% of post-abortion women said if they had been encouraged, they would have chosen life.
So there's 78%. CPR. So let's define what the CPR is for a culture, the culture of death. CPR for the culture of death, when you look at the attributes and the chrisms and the character of God in Christ, one of them that you see throughout Christ's work is encouragement. Even in the daily Mass reading today, there was a healing that Father John Paul, you know, gave. And in that reading, it talked about how Jesus said to the lady that touched his cloak, he said, "You had courage." Like courage, he used the word courage. And then of course her faith saved her. But my point is one of these attributes in God's work is encouragement. So that 78% stat, 78% of post-abortion mothers said that if they had seen one encouraging sign or had encountered an encouraging person to choose life, they would not have chose death, abortion, for their child. So we need to imagine ways where we speak up in encouragement, that we're unpopular for such a time as this, but we're going to be popular with the heavenly hosts and the saints and angels to be life-saving and heroic.
And I guess 64% felt coerced. I know a lot of leaders in the pro-life movement talk about how women who have had or who had abortions, they felt like they had no choice. I mean, the liberal side is saying, you know, this is all about freedom of choice.
How ironic.
Yeah. And they're doing this, they feel like they have no choice.
Yeah, and I'll comment, I was sitting getting a haircut and my barber, you know, with the scissors in their hand, "Hey, what are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm gonna go give a presentation called Living Pro-Life with Heroic Virtue at a local Catholic elementary school." And he said, "Oh, I'm for choice." And I said, "Oh, so you're for abortion?" And he said, "No, I'm not for abortion." I said, "Well, that's one of the choices." And I defined it. And I said, "You for that?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Oh, then I guess you're pro-life." And he said, "Oh, I guess I'm pro-life." And so when we think about that, that's all it needed for us to speak up and encourage to define the reality of choice. And let's, instead of saying pro-choice, Father, really, let's start calling it what it is. Instead of saying pro-choice, let's say pro-abortion, because that's what it's pro, one of the choices of abortion. So defining terms.
We just have a couple minutes left. One of the things you talk about too is try to share God's healing power in these encounters.
Yes.
What does that look like?
Yeah, so what it looks like, you had mentioned 64% of post-abortion women felt that their abortion was coerced. When you read that study, listen to what the coercion was. The coercion was silence. Most of the 64%, they defined that no one said anything. Therefore, I felt that everyone wanted me to abort my child. So here comes the line, silence is consent. So back to what I said a moment ago, we have to speak up. We have to, at a minimum, vote. Share with your loved one, "I choose life. I choose God. I choose the giver of all life. And I encourage you to choose life." That little ounce of encouragement is life-saving. So that next stat where you said the next one you shared, Father, was again
The 78%
after the coercion
64% and then I don't remember the next one.
Yeah. And so in that, the choice is that coercion, and the coercion is defined most of it by silence.
Oh, wow. Wow. And that's why you hit the marketing aspect of it so much, you know, the witness of wearing the jacket, the t-shirt, the pins, is to break that silence.
Is to break that silence. Yeah. And so you can wear a witness, be a life runner. Running's optional.
Yeah.
Go to liferunners.org, get a shirt that says, Remember the Unborn, the Trinity. Wear your witness and help people choose life, choose God.
Well, Pat, thank you so much
for
your work,
Mark.
Your witness, and your strength, and your encouragement that you bring to this movement.
Praise God. Thank you.
Well, I always enjoy my time with Pat at the pro-life marches at SEEK. We meet him and things like that. And he is a thinker. He reflects.
He does.
I wish everyone could have heard the conversation we had at dinner last night, but just wonderful, good Christian fellowship and him sharing his ideas. What struck you about what he said?
Well, there's a lot of things, but I think, too, something that really kind of struck me, just something about he said, is just kind of wearing the witness. And I think Pat Castle is a great witness because for a while I've gone to kind of both the March for Life and San Francisco Walk for Life, and he's at both. Mm-hmm. And every time I see him, you know, he's not, and sometimes the traveling, it's like those events are just kind of booked in right next to each other. But he is just all about saving the unborn, you know, and he talks about, you know, the world out there is wanting to dismember the unborn, but the life runners, they're about remembering the unborn, you know, and he really does wear that, you know, and he proclaims it boldly. Yeah. He's a fearless man to go out there and to really evangelize. But really, I think he's really, as y'all mentioned or talked about, you know, we do live in a broken world society. You know, there's a lot of hurt, a lot of deep wounds, you know, that I think go back to the family. But, you know, and it's not, he doesn't bring it just a doom and gloom message, but one that's very positive and uplifting.
And one thing I like too, you know, he says just to start to have the conversation with somebody, and when you just start talking about it, like why maybe are they pro-abortion, pro-choice, everyone say it, and the realities therein. And he said oftentimes you wind up changing their mind or at least moving the needle a little bit when you start, because they don't have logic on their side, right? The pro-port, you know, you're taking human life.
Right.
You can never, innocent human life.
Right.
You can never justify that. So just if you can start the conversation, and he's real good with that. We went out to eat, and we went to bless the food. The waitress was there, and he said, why don't you pray with us, right? So she prayed the blessing over the food, and he just has that winsome attitude and good spirit that is infectious. And, you know, he actually taught high school for a couple of years just to evangelize the kids. He, like, parachuted into this no man's land and witnessed to Christ. And so I think he's a powerful witness like that. And to have that confidence that we have the truth on our side, we have logic on our side, you know, and all of heaven is cheering us on in this cause. So.
And I think, too, one of the things you said, you know, silence is consent, you know, and we need to hear the voice. And I think y'all talked about it, but like 78% of women that have had an abortion would have changed their mind if they had heard that voice.
Yeah.
You know, somebody reaching out to them. So I think that's a very important thing to do.
So. Right. So we send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May Heavenly Father shine His face upon you, give you His peace. May He send the Holy Spirit into your hearts to encourage you, to strengthen you, to give you courage and boldness in witnessing to life. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
In the end, I will see it was worth it. Our lives are in your hands. Growing in me. So baby, this is mommy, and I just want you to know that you are saving me, 'cause I choose love.
purify me and make me what you want me to be. Said I'm ready.